I want to welcome everyone again to Revival Today. The message is Feeling Faith. The message that I have today is called Feeling Faith. We're going to talk about faith and understand why faith is important to have. It's so easy for us to sometimes take for granted the faith that we have. And sometimes we look at ourselves in a situation, we place our faith to the side. Just in America alone, we often associate spiritual blessings with physical happiness. When life becomes difficult through loss, divorce, depression, grief, it can often make Christians either feel like their faith is a fraud or lead them to believe that God is the one who is a fraud. I want to empower individuals to cultivate a faith that will withstand the troubles of life. And I'm going to talk about the faith. There's a scripture that says, faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. I want to talk to the body this morning about understanding how to operate in faith. Our sister, my wife, had just shared about the faith of a mustard seed. Sometimes we don't understand, but God has given us all a measure of faith. And in society today, people are starting to not believe in God. And they want to believe in themselves, but I want to encourage you and get you to understand that God cares for you. And that his desire is that you live and not die. The Bible says he will give you life and give you it more abundantly. Amen. Amen. There's a scripture here that I have. If you turn with me to Joshua 1:9. It says, I have not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Turn to somebody and say, God is with you wherever you go. And I want to put this in your spirit, because God is trying to get the people to understand that he's given everyone a measure of faith. What we do is we take for granted what we have and we look at what someone else has. And we start to say, well, I don't have enough, or I don't have what I need. But God said he's given everyone a little bit of faith. And the devil wants to come and destroy and take away your faith so that you no longer believe in the report of the Lord. So today I'm going to give you encouragement. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:25, it says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Someone say, a good word makes him glad. I need you to get the word today, because I got something for you this morning. I want to encourage you to understand that God wants you to understand that when you get around a good word, it changes who you are. When you get with negative people, you ever been with negative people and they're always negative? Doesn't it change how you feel? But that's why the Bible says anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. So I'm going to talk about that spirit of anxiety. It says there can be so many reasons to be tempted to be anxious, but you have the greatest power in the universe on your side. Turn to somebody and say, I got the greatest power in the universe on my side. Amen. Praise God. Give God some praise. You have the greatest on your side. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 17:14. And I got a little story for you this morning. We know how Jesus took much time to minister to the weak and the sick and the afflicted. But I have something for you because I want to show you how to get where you need to go spiritually so that you can sustain yourself, so that you can endure this life. Because when it says in the scripture that he gives you life and give it to you more abundantly, it's time to stop allowing anxiety to tear you up. It's time to stop letting life run you down so that you can appreciate what God has given you here and now. It's time to recognize that God wants you to grow so that your dreams and your purpose can be manifest. But it cannot be when we constantly think that we have what it takes and don't realize that we need to cultivate what God has given us so that strength takes place in our life. The Bible says in Matthew 17:14, it says, "And when they were come to the multitudes, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic.'" Now that means he has a mental illness. And he says, "Sure, vexed. And often he falls into the fire and often into the water." And he said like this, he says, "And I brought him to thy disciples and they could not cure him." Someone say they could not cure him. The Bible says that Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." He said, "Come follow me and I'm going to show you how to live this life." That's what Jesus did. And when they begin to follow Jesus, they watch the many great works that he has done. But in this passage, it shows you how the man began to come to the Lord and said, "Guess what? I went to the disciples and they did not have what it takes." He began to complain to Jesus because the disciples were supposed to know how to operate in the fullness of the word. But instead, sometimes like we do, we come to church, we're part of church. A lot of people are religious and everyone in all the countries all over the world believe in some kind of faith, but they don't know how faith is to be used. Faith is what's going to give you the ability to overcome anxiety. So in the scripture, when the man came to Jesus, he began to say, and it says, and it brought to them, he said, "Thy disciples, they could not cure him." Turn to someone and say, "They could not cure him." And Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you?" You see how he said in his word, "How long will I be with you?" And this is where I'm going with the word today. Some of us aren't teaching our kids anything about the Lord. We're not showing them. We're not being doing a demonstration through our faith. So what we're seeing, like the scripture said, he said it to the disciples, "This generation is messed up." He said, "You're with me, but you're not learning from me." And God wants us to understand that when we come into the house of God, it's not only about jumping and shouting and praising him, but it's also to get what you need to be an overcomer. You come into the house of God not only to just get what you need, but guess what? He gives you the strength to overcome the enemy wherever he brings your way. But he can't do that when you don't allow yourself to have faith. So the disciples were not able to cure him. So Jesus began to rebuke him and say, "Listen, y'all need to understand that you don't have enough faith." Jesus rebuked the devil, and it says right here, let me go back. It says, "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." So Jesus said to the man, he said, "Bring your son to me." Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Somebody say that very hour. It didn't say that he talked to the devil. He didn't talk to the enemy. He didn't make friends with the enemy. That's what we do. We go to our family, our friends, those that, we talk to it. Oh, you know, maybe you're going to move out of the way. Maybe you're going to stop addicting my child. No, he said, the Bible says he rebuked him. Rebuke means that you got to come strong. You got to come at the enemy strong to get back what the enemy's trying to take from you. Some of us are going through things in our life and we're kind of like, well, you know, I kind of want to be delivered. I kind of have faith. But you need to know that the enemy is not playing games with your household. He's not playing games with your life. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And so when you come at the enemy like Jesus did, he rebuked the devil and the devil had to get out. So when he spoke to the disciples, he said, this generation is pervert. We don't honor the Lord anymore. And then it says, then came the disciples of Jesus afterwards and said, why could not we cast out him out? You understand? It came and said, why can't we do it? I was telling you last week where I said the church needs to start to be committed to the things of God. You cannot operate from your couch. You cannot operate from your job. You have to operate from here. Meaning you got to take faith in here and say, I'm going to apply it every day until God begins to move what's happening in my life. You can't just go and try to sit with somebody and get it. You have to get it for yourself. God has given you all a measure of faith. So my question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to continuously look at somebody else and say, well, that's the reason why I'm not in the Lord. They're the reason why I'm not serving him no more. God is not pleased with us. He wants us to be in a position to win and not lose. Somebody say win and not lose. It says in the 20th verse, it said, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. you see that? He said, because of your unbelief, I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard. That's why I was like, my wife got up on my message. He said, you know what a grain of mustard, a tiny, tiny seed. So, it's just that little bit of faith. That's why the enemy's trying to take faith away. But you don't know that little bit of faith can move things out of your life, could change your life and make you whole. Praise God. Give God some praise. And it says, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be what? Impossible unto you. Somebody said, nothing shall be impossible. So what's going on in your life? Why is it that we allowing all kind of things to happen and we no longer believe in the Lord? I want to encourage you that that God wants to make things possible again in your life. I have another scripture. We're going to turn to Philippians 4:6 as I get ready to wrap it up. The Bible says here in Philippians 4:6, and this is a word, we kind of went over this in Bible study, and it was a good word, amen? The Bible says in Philippians, it says, be anxious for nothing. Somebody turns to somebody and said, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Someone say, with thanksgiving. that's what we're missing out. If we pray for things and we go to the Lord, we need you to do this. But we don't go with thanksgiving. We cry all over the altar and we put it on God, but we're not thankful for what he's already given us. He's given you a measure of faith, and that's all you need to get through, because he's not going to put on you something that you're not able to bear. So my burdens might be something that you can't bear, but your burden is something I can't bear. So God has given you enough to go through what you're going through. So what we need to do now is learn to come into it with thanksgiving. To come into it with thanksgiving. That means you say, oh, you know what? I know this is pressing me. I know this is going on, but I'm cool now. I'm good. I gave it to God. When you give it to God, you can smile again. Too many times we look at what the world is doing, or we want to be like the world. But I want you to know that the church, the people of God, we were created in his image. And we were created to serve God. And guess what? Your life is not going to get better until you learn that your first job is to serve God. Your first job is to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you for my life. Your first job is to go before God and say, Lord, I know you can do it. I give you the praise and I thank you for all that you're done. That's your first job. And when you do that, guess what? That little bit of faith begins to take hold. And that little bit of faith begins to change something in your life. But that little bit of faith can't change nothing when doubt and unbelief comes in. And this is why we, as a people of God, we need to know one thing, that you have to fight for your life. Turn to somebody and say, I got to fight for my life. You see, because the devil's job is to steal and kill you and take you down. The Bible says that the wage of the sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Don't trade your life in. Don't trade what God has given you for anxiety, for tears every night, crying about your job, crying about your health. God is saying, I gave you a measure of faith. He said, be thankful. Then take that little bit of what you have. What we do is we look at what everyone has and say, Lord, I don't have that. And he's saying, I've given you something, and I want to see how you manage it. I want to see what you do with it. You know, so many times we want to follow somebody. We want to get with people, and we want to have our own group to hang out with. But God is separating you for a reason, because he's trying to establish you in the faith so that you can make it on your own. You can't make it on your own trying to lean on everybody around you. God is saying, I'm going to make a way for you. And you're not going to get that breakthrough until you recognize. So that scripture says, thanksgiving. It says, let your requests be made known unto God. You understand that? Make your requests known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. Someone say, guard my heart and mind. See, this is why I was going into the scripture talking about anxiety. You know how many people are dealing with medication for anxiety. The Bible says he will guard your heart and your mind. What's going on in your heart? What's going on in your mind that you can't sleep at night? But the scripture says he will guard it through Christ Jesus. So it's not through the doctor. It's not through your, you know, the group of people in the church that the Holy Ghost filled and claimed they got everything going for themselves. No, it says through Christ Jesus. So you can get with the Holy Ghost group, but I'm going to get with Jesus. Because Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say follow auntie and uncle and dad and mom or the Pope. No, he said, follow me and I'll make you a fisher's of men. He's trying to teach you one thing. You got to get with him, get close enough to him and understand his ways. And when you understand his ways, you'll start playing games with the enemy. You'll start to see that I will not get delivered until I sow a seed of faith. We're almost done. Give God some praise. So now he tells us what you did. He said, finally, brother, whatever so things are true, someone say true. Whatsoever things are noble, say noble. Whatsoever things are just, say just. See, it said true, noble, and just. Too many people want to tell you foolishness. And you sit there and listen to it. Oh, yeah, you know, that's why I don't go to church no more. That's why I don't stop by anymore. You listening to craziness. He said, whatsoever things are true. I want to tell you this. Integrity has a certain standard. And you know what integrity does? Integrity is consistent. You want to really see a true man or woman of God? Watch how consistent they are. Jesus ain't fooling around with those that come and go. Integrity is consistent because guess what? That situation that you're dealing with in your life, guess what? That's consistent. It's not going to let you go. You see an alcoholic on the street, you can go to them as long as they want. You can say, come on now, you can make it. No, that addiction is consistent. You have to rebuke it. You got to cause it to go. Let's give God some praise. I need you to understand that. So how is your thinking, church? So whatsoever thing is just, whatsoever thing is pure, whatsoever things are lovely. Someone say lovely. See, so, you know, haters are haters. That's all they do. You keep getting with people that hate their own lives. I want you to know that God said, I'm going to give you life and he give it to you more abundantly. I'm trying to fix you. I'm trying to take the brokenness, the anxiety, the hurt and the pain, and I'm trying to give you strength in it. But you seek after those that have a form of godliness and not fully planted in the word of God. And God's saying, take your little bit of faith and be grateful. Turn to somebody and say, be grateful. I'm about done. Here we go. I'm going to try to get off this. So whatsoever things are good report, say good report. And what does it mean by good report? It means that, you know, if I go to somebody and I ask them, how you doing? And they say, oh, by the way, pastor, you know, I was looking in church and somebody was messing up. They were doing this. They were getting all in that. And they did no good. You walk away from them. Say, I want to get around somebody that's saying things that are good. Because everything they're saying might be true, but guess what? It's not a good report. Say to somebody, it's not a good report. See, when you desire to walk in holiness, holiness only identifies with holiness. And so when you get around holiness, your spirit's going to match up. You're not going to want to be around negativity, looking for something. This is why a lot of people don't want guests in their house. You know why? You ever have guests in the house, you treated them nice, you hooked them up, and they left their house, they're like, oh, guess what? You should have seen what I seen in their house. Why? Because, see, that's why we as a church people, we got guarded. We're like, I don't want to tell nobody about my business because they take it. But I need you to know it's time to speak well of one another. Stop trying to do it in your own strength and give it to the Lord. Let us stand. So it says, if there be any virtue, and if there be anything praiseworthy, you see what I mean? Praiseworthy. Can you look for praiseworthy people? Look for them. Don't look for the negative. Think on the good things, and even in your household. So many times we look at our family, we see the negativity. We put them down. We only see God is saying, look for the good. He said, think on these days. Meditate on these things. Meditate means close your eyes and focus on them things. I know life is hard, and I know that sometimes you're going through. But I don't want to play church. I want to be church. I want to represent, because the Bible says you are the church. You are the true church. So when someone says you, well, this is not right. No, you are the true church. You're supposed to show the way. I'm going to get ready to end with this last passage. So there's a scripture that I had that said, it says, have not I commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid. Stop being afraid. There's a little something I have here. It says here, I have a little story that I think you're going to like. It says, death was walking towards a city one morning, and a man asked, what are you going to do? And death replied, I'm going to take 100 people. The man said, that's horrible, the man said. And death said like this, death said, that's the way it is. Death said, that's what I do. Then the man hurried to warn everyone he could about death's plan. And as the evening fell, he met with death again. He said to death, he said, you told me you were going to take 100 people. And the man said, why did 1,000 die? And then death looked at him and said, I kept my word. Death replied, he said, I took 100 people, but worry took the others. I need you to know that we are sick because of the worries. You are hurt. You're going through because of your worries. Remember that scripture where I said anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down? What's in your heart, church? It's time to be real for Christ. It's time to be real for Christ. My last scripture, two scriptures, says the Lord is your keeper. Turn to someone and say, the Lord is my keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The shield, excuse me. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. I want you to see this here. I want you to begin to fly, church. I want you to realize that the dreams and visions that God has given you, he wants you to fly. It no longer roll up and die. You say, why would I? This song ministered to me, even though it was a song in the world. I said, Lord, we have stopped flying in our visions. Some of us have just crawled up and said, I can't make it anymore. Some of us just stopped trying to go on. My question to you is, who's your God? Is your God the worry? Your love for God, lean on him. If you can see it. Reason why I need the church to get this message in your spirit. Sometimes we say to ourselves, oh, there's no message. God said he'll make the rock cry out. He'll use a donkey to speak to you. I need you to think about the Lord and understand that your dream matters to him. Don't let anxiety steal what God has promised you. When I said that faith is the substance of things hoped for, what are you hoping for? What are you seeing in your dreams? Why is it that you trade in your faith for fear? Praise God. I pray that you enjoy the podcast today with Feel and Faith. I'm sure that you are blessed. I'm asking that you come visit us at 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. We would love having you. Have a great day. Bless you.